firm of Harris and Meringue. Patrick Harris.
Look, Daniel, I do what I want.
Danny Meringue.
That is smelling your own farts.
Easy there. These are great pipes.
I'm not going to say agree to disagree, but I really don't like you right now.
The firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
All right, thanks for hanging out with us. We got one more hour to go, then we'll send you to Ducks Insider. Ducks Insider, Joey Mack, and then the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson right into primetime from 3 to 7, and that's 13 hours of continuous local coverage right here on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM, 1080 The Fan, and there's even some fun stuff over on our sister station, 910. She's pretty cool, too.
Not too bad for a side piece.
Not too bad for a little side action.
910 side piece.
The 910. That's our rebrand. Side piece. That's the rebrand. Almost as hot as your girl. Mm. But we talked about in the first hour, if you missed any of that, you can go back and check out the podcasts at 1051thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. About the B1G floating out this idea of a playoff expansion plan of 24 to 28 teams. If you didn't catch any of that, that would include seven spots for the B1G, the Big Ten, seven spots for the SEC, five for the ACC and the Big 12 each, two group of five, group of four, one at large, and Notre Dame.
So if you're doing the math here, 28, 14 of them are going to the Big Ten and SEC.
In a 2018, real side note right here, in a 2018 playoff, is there any team more guaranteed to be in every year than Notre Dame?
No.
Right? They would have to be the number one. Because they will always be an at-large.
Yeah.
And if there's 28 teams in here, I'm going to assume with the amount of money, resources, even if Freeman were to leave, I think Freeman's going to be there for a while, they would always be in. Yeah. Even if they were team 28.
Which is why they're like...
Even if they were team 31, yeah, they're getting they'd in. Get them in.
Yeah, it's a brand. But this like again, the playoff being 28 teams, too many bleeping teams. Too many.
Without a doubt. So I'm curious, what does the Big Ten have, like, what is their prerogative to float this out? I know we talked in the first hour about getting to, you know, a super conference and all this kind of stuff, but what does the Big Ten gain from doing this?
Well, it's, to me, this always, when this kind of stuff comes out, it's always power vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
It's whoever comes up with this crappy idea first, they get to stake some ground on it. What good, bad, or otherwise. And if all of a sudden somebody else is like, you know what, I like this idea. Like the ACC is like, oh, I like this idea because, you know, we can still hold on to Clemson and Miami and North Carolina
and still be relevant.
And be relevant in this sense because there's more there. But 28 teams is just too freaking much. But you put something out there that goes so far that if you reel it back in, it probably gets closer to the idea of what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
Remember we were talking about going to 16. You're like, oh, that's too much. But if 28's the number, well, 16's a lot more doable.
Without a doubt, yeah. It kind of cushions the blow. And I also think it really, really introduces, for the exact same reason, it reintroduces the automatic qualifiers. And so it's like, what? Seven for the Big Ten and seven for the SEC? That is way too much. And they go, well, how about in 16 if we do 4 and 4? And you're like, okay, yeah. That's a lot better than seven. Because the reality is let's go back and look at the SEC's top seven teams last year. Or the Big Ten.
I was literally just pulling up the Big Ten right now.
Do the Big Ten. The SEC might have a little more structure there.
So
because you would add Bama and Ole Miss.
So if you're going seven, which is going in order by conference standings. Oregon, Indiana,
yes,
Penn State,
yes,
Ohio State,
yes,
Illinois,
yes,
Iowa, Michigan.
No, thank you.
So the ones on the outside would be Minnesota, USC, Rutgers, Washington, Nebraska, Michigan State, UCLA, Wisconsin, Northwestern, Maryland, Purdue.
As of last year, yeah. But those last two, Iowa and Michigan, I don't need them in a playoff. I don't need to see those teams in a playoff last year.
Those are both teams that were 8-5. Iowa was 6-3 in conference, Michigan 5-4.
I might care more about Michigan playing Iowa in week 6 than I do about Michigan playing Iowa in a playoff game.
Okay, so this is what it would be on the SEC side. Texas, okay. Georgia, Tennessee, Missouri, Ole Miss, Bama, LSU.
Of last year's teams,
yep.
a little more justified.
Okay.
I don't know if I need LSU in Missouri.
So this would cut off South Carolina, who was a 9-4, but they're 5-3 in conference. A&M at 8-5, Florida at 8-5, Arkansas at 7-6, Vandy at 7-6, Oklahoma at 6-7, Auburn at 5-7, Kentucky 4-8, Mississippi State 2-10.
I'm fine with that. I don't need to see those teams.
But I mean, like,
seven, maybe, yeah. But even though LSU good last year? Were they just propped up in the beginning of the year?
Well, I mean, the beginning of the year they fell. They lost to USC in Vegas.
Well, I know, but like,
they were better.
But am I sitting here and thinking that LSU could have actually been a seventh team in the playoff? No.
No, but I mean,
if there was that many slots,
this also does get Ole Miss in, who, as we've mentioned many times, they did not hold the lead in less than 2 minutes of total game time throughout the season. They were 10-3.
Adding Ole Miss and Bama to a 16-team playoff, should it have been last year? I am in, but adding Missouri and LSU to a 28-team in this model, no.
But the interesting thing about this is, like, so if the cutoff line is there. I mean, you're sitting there. Again, Missouri being up there, that's a team that probably cycles out. Ole Miss is probably a team that cycles out. So probably you maybe say Tennessee, although I believe in Heupel and I think he's on the right path. They're probably going to have a bit of a down year this year because of so many changes and turmoil. But A&M, Florida, Oklahoma, Auburn, those are four programs that are putting a significant amount of money into their football teams.
I agree.
And you're maybe cycling out two. In the top seven.
Yeah, and it just, I mean, that's what it is. I think
three
a lot,
if you want to be like Ole Miss, Missouri, Tennessee.
Well, we just did the experiment, and the SEC clearly has more horses. And this is just from last year in a sample size. The SEC has more horses that would run faster in this situation than the Big Ten would. However, one thing that I think is going on by putting this out there is, A, trying to be first with the idea. To, again, kind of what you were saying earlier about being like, when somebody says, yeah, I agree with you, it's like, see, told you we're on the right track. But B, it is this continuous underground battle / friendship, like the hate sex situation of SEC versus the Big Ten. Them still competing against each other despite eventually needing to be with each other. This is the Big Ten getting out in front and saying, our seven equals your seven. And although we just did the experiment, and I think of last year's teams, you're looking more 7-5, but this leads them in the beginning to say, no, we're just as important as the SEC.
But
to where the numbers from last year, at least, and I don't know about the years before, it's obviously there's going to be a lot of movement with it, but I think the numbers from last year show the SEC could have done 7. I don't think the Big Ten could have done 7, but this is their choice. This is their shot to make sure people think they are on the same level as the Big Ten, or as the SEC.
Here's the thing. USC, Washington, Nebraska, Wisconsin. Those are probably the four teams that you would consider traditional powers.
Sure.
Who have been good enough. Again, like when you're talking about with the SEC, with A&M, Florida,
South Carolina.
Auburn, South Carolina. Like the teams that if they were like previewing this season and listening to all the national prognosticators, analysts, all those kind of folks. There are not a shortage of people who think Lenora Sellers could end up being the number one overall pick in the NFL draft next year, the quarterback at South Carolina. If he's that good, how good is South Carolina?
Should be really good.
Should be really good, right? So there's a team that could find themselves popping up into that. If you're talking about, USC, Washington, Nebraska, Wisconsin kind of figuring things out, does Dylan Raiola figure things out? Does Maiava and USC's defense get things together? Does Washington's recruiting class start to build on what they were? Yeah,
Jed Fish wins usually in year two.
Right? So you start talking yourselves into the churn and the depth of both leagues. And again, 14 is egregious between the SEC and Big Ten, which is why, for me, it probably needs to be 8.
Between the two,
and it needs to be 16.
And then fill out the rest.
That, to me, seems like more the sweet spot.
Dude, can you imagine 5 ACC teams? Like, what's team 4 and 5 look like?
Oh, God. I mean, it's sometimes it's a struggle to get past 2.
Right.
So, yeah, then that's why the 20, you want to talk about watered down? I would much rather see an SMU, well, I guess like technically ACC, but you know what I mean. SMU.
I mean, they're ACC.
Yeah, but SMU, Boise State, Oregon State, Washington State, Tulane, the next tier. I would rather see more of those teams get their shots like Arizona State did.
Sure.
Because that's the majesty.
Like BYU struggled down the stretch last year in the season, but they were a pretty good team for most of the year.
But we don't have what we have with Boise State without Boise State getting that platform against Oklahoma.
That's the truth.
And I want to see those teams, for every 9 times that that team gets the crap kicked out of them, I get a magical run. I get a magical game.
Urban Meyer at Utah against Alabama.
I would much rather
have... Got him into the Pac-12.
I would rather have that opportunity than watch Vanderbilt.
Totally. And you know what I mean? But you can tell when it's Liberty, Oregon, you're kind of like, okay, this doesn't have Boise State, Oklahoma juice.
But... on the off chance, let's say Liberty does.
I guess that's true. I mean, nobody thought Peterson and Boise State was going to do it.
Tell me how dope it is when that team does that.
I mean, I know you love to talk, and you're probably right that it's USC Texas is the greatest game of all time. My favorite game of all time is Boise State Oklahoma. I love that game.
I mean, it's
replayed in my head.
You can throw that on a top 10 list, and I'm not going to begrudge anybody. Yeah. And USC Texas, yes, my team's in it. My team lost, and yeah. I still consider it the greatest college football game of all time.
Stupid.
It's something. There's something like 84 total NFL players on those two rosters.
I mean, 3 of the first 10 were. Leinart, Vince, and Reggie.
Like, if you go look at those two rosters, and if you just go to Football Reference or College Football Reference, and they have a little NFL shield next to all the players that went on to the NFL between those two rosters, it's disgusting. You've never had a collection of talent like that between two teams ever.
Yeah, and then the Boise State for me, though, is what you're talking about, is what you're going to get to. What you're going to get, you are going to potentially see, you know, Boise State hosting Texas.
I mean, Arizona State. Took Texas to the break. If Arizona State wins that game.
That game was so fun.
I mean, you know, Oregon, Ohio State's kicking off as that game's going to overtime. And you're sitting there just like, I know.
And we all here, I mean, I don't know, I won't speak for you, but a lot of us are like, I get this game, but I really want to watch this Oregon-Ohio State game. But it's like, nah, dude, we're not going anywhere.
We were at a family friend's house. We were watching those games. We were doing like a pre-Christmas kind of a deal, right? And everybody in there is Oregon fans. And I'm like, hey, I know you guys want to watch the beginning of this game and everything, but can we keep it on this? Because this rules. You know, and everyone's like, yeah, we can do that. And meanwhile, I pulled up Oregon, Ohio State on my phone. And I'm like, it was a third play. He just took it to the house. I was like, do you guys want to know? And they're like, what happened? I'm like, well, if this is any indication, it's not going to go well.
Yeah, things aren't going well.
But yeah, like, as much as I want to see best on best, I still want a story. I still want a Boise State story. I want an Arizona State story. I want Kevin Jennings and SMU to have an opportunity to go out there and get smashed.
Yeah, the only thing that's going to break my heart from that stuff is, like, say Arizona State does win that game against Texas, and Scataboo has another year, he's, like, at Bama. That would be the only thing that would be a little rough.
Or you know, Arizona State. They brought back Jordan Tyson staying at Arizona State. He's a preseason All-American. Sam Levitt's, you know, top 10 Heisman kid.
I know, like, he might be my Heisman guy, not named John Mateer.
Wow, look at you backpedaling already.
Nah,
backpedaling
dude.
Already.
Nah, it's John Mateer.
I think if you polled people, people want to see best on best, but they still want the opportunities for the others. And if you water it down this far to 28... then it's like the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
When all of a sudden the path gets that much longer, the opportunity just doesn't. Yes, you may get the 1 in a billion run.
Is Florida really the best team from college basketball last year? Yes, but it doesn't always shake out that way. Yeah. All right, when we come back, we will move to the state of Ohio for the next 45 minutes. Don't go anywhere. Hang out with us. We'll have fun, I promise. 105.1 The Fan. A lot to get to on tomorrow's show. We'll check in on the Rashee Rice situation. Rob Manfred talks expansion. Caleb Williams, Dylan Gabriel, some quarterbacks. I do need to make an apology for last week. I completely forgot when we were talking about left-handed quarterbacks that Michael Penix Jr. is a lefty.
We brought up Penix.
Did we?
Yeah.
I didn't remember. I felt like I left him out.
I brought up Penix.
Yeah, those Huskies, they just leave my brain for some reason.
I wonder what that is.
Go Ducks, am I right, guys? Yeah. We moved to the state of Ohio here, as Ohio has announced QB1.
All over the place.
All over the place. A little surprising, mostly because... you know, Ryan Day said it might come down to the very, very end. And, you know, they might announce, you know, a date or two before Texas. But it came out today. It is, in fact, do we need a drum roll?
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody need a drum roll?
No. No. Ohio never gets a drum roll.
It is truly insane. And we knew this was going to happen. We were all fairly confident that it was going to be him. I'm curious, though, why Ryan Day announced that today.
I think it's a matter of, like, we're a week out from playing Texas.
See, that's kind of, I kind of think the same thing, and it's like,
let's just get the first team stuff locked in.
I don't need to continue to answer this question, and, you know, because all week they're going to, he's going to be taking first team snaps, or, you know, maybe he didn't actually know.
I think you know, but when you make that call, you can't go back on it. I mean, you can, but boy, does it look bad.
It does look bad.
So, I mean, Saiyan was, you know, number one recruit. Was at Bama.
I have him as the second overall QB behind DJ.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Lagway was number one. Yeah. Thank you. I was thinking of Devin Brown, who was the number one recruit when they signed him in 22. But goes to Bama. Saiyan retires. He transfers. Ends up at Ohio State. And it was the debate was between him and Lincoln Kindholz, and Kindholz is a better athlete.
He's a
three sport athlete, much more mobile, which typically Ohio State has been better with, like whether it's Fields or Stroud or like Will Howard. He wasn't a statue.
Like, no, we were talking about this in the break a little bit. Like
Howard was a lot better than I think he gets credit.
I do too. I saw something that was trying to say Cardale Jones, Craig Krenzel, and Will Howard are the three worst quarterbacks, three of the top five worst quarterbacks in the last 20 years, and I don't agree with that. I think Will Howard was a lot better than people think.
Yeah.
Cardale Jones was just lightning in a bottle, and that Krenzel team was stupid.
Also,
that O-line was NFL. That running back could have been NFL had he not done something stupid, and there were NFL guys all over that defense.
Well, and Cardale was...
Plus the sweater vest.
Man. I mean, he had a huge arm. Like, that's what that was, you know?
Some would say a rocket science or arm.
12-gauge. Great name.
Great name.
Great name.
Great name.
But, yeah, no, it's not really a surprise. I was interested to see which way they went. Did they go with Kindholz? Did they go with Saiyan? Just kind of see where this goes. But this also speaks to where we are with college football, and this is a drum that we've been beating for the last couple of weeks, the amount of change that is coming to college football. And if you look at the college football, the preseason All-Americans, you know, guess who the preseason All-American quarterback is, first team?
It is Klubnik.
Yeah.
Out of Clemson.
Shocking.
Because he's repeat.
Well, he's fourth year returning quarterback. Like, if you look at the All-Americans up and down at every position, with the exception of, like, Jeremiah Smith and Ryan Williams, it's returners. It's that's what this is, you know?
Yeah, this thought just popped into my head right now, too. If Saiyan has a solid year this year, which I expect him to have, he's got weapons everywhere.
Well, you have the best player in college football.
You have the best player in college football.
You might have the best defensive player in college football in Caleb Downs.
Mm-hmm. Ryan Day's gotten over the hump, which you have to think is going to have him a little more relaxed and less crazy.
It would be hilarious if all of a sudden the gray started showing up in his beard. Like you win a title.
I would
and
love
just,
it.
Huh, that's weird. It's no longer jet black.
I would love it. But there's a good chance that next year we're talking about, I mean, there's a good chance that next year Ohio State is the preseason number one overall team, no matter what happens this year. Bringing Saiyan back and Jeremiah Smith back.
Yeah, because they're locked in at least.
They're locked in at least one more year.
Yeah.
So if anything, by naming him the quarterback one now, and in theory, I think he will be the quarterback all year round, barring injury. I would be very surprised if he gets pulled. Then you are just guaranteeing what I'm trying to say. Long story short, what I'm trying to say is Ryan Day no longer has to recruit Julian Saiyan.
Sure. In that sense,
you no longer have to recruit.
That's the quarterback retention is certainly something you have to worry about.
Mm-hmm. You got to work about it. You got to worry about if Kindholz is going to stick around to be a backup. That you got to worry about. But your QB, in theory, for the next 2 years, is locked up. Sark's in the same situation.
And I think that was probably,
how many guys are? Not many.
No, and I think that was, you know, what Ohio State thought when they had Devin Brown and Kyle McCord in that situation, and that obviously didn't work out. It didn't in the long run, certainly, but not the path that they thought they were going to go down. I think the interesting thing here for Ohio State is Texas is the preseason number one,
mm-hmm.
right?
Ohio State, 8, 9?
No, six.
Something like that.
They're higher than that.
I'll pull it up right
but
now.
But what's interesting is, before naming their starting quarterback, Ohio State was favored in this game.
I bet you still are.
But that, isn't that a little strange? That,
Ohio State, 3 top 25, 2 coaches.
But isn't that a little weird that before a team names a quarterback and yet you know who the quarterback is at Texas, that'll...
I think it's the most important
position on the field.
I agree, but I'll bet you they knew it was going to be saying, and the horseshoe is not the easiest place to play in the world.
No, but you're talking about...
Unless you're Baker Mayfield, Bo Nix.
Or insert Michigan quarterback here.
Or, yeah. I don't even remember who the quarterback was for Michigan last year.
But it's interesting that, you know, the team that has a quarterback that is at least mildly experienced... In Arch, what do you have, 96 pass attempts in his career, I think the number is?
Yeah, but he's been in big games and had big moments. He's, like, been hit by real guys.
Meanwhile,
you know?
You're throwing fresh fish out there in Ohio State. And, again, it's a home game, all those kind of things, but that's something that's kind of sat in the back of my head of, like, I get it. They have the best player in college football in Jeremiah Smith, and they have maybe the best defensive player in college football in Caleb Downs, but the most important position on the field is the quarterback, and you're going to throw untested guy one or untested guy two out there. And they're favored?
Yeah.
With how much they lost. Like, again, their recruiting has been incredible. And Day has earned the benefit of the doubt as far as talent accumulation. But I don't know, man. There's just something about that where I think this game might actually go sideways. I think either Texas or Ohio State, I don't know which way I'll land on it yet, but I think one team's going to beat the crap out of the other.
Really?
I don't think it's going to be as close because there's just too much unknown for both teams.
Yeah, I was curious when I saw this today. The first thought that popped in my head is Julian Sain going to be the most watched new quarterback in the nation? Because, like, let's take locally, for example. Dante Moore, we expect to get the job.
Yeah.
Dante Moore is not going to have the expectation or the eyeballs on him that Julian Sain's going to have.
I think it probably is.
It's Arch?
Arch is one. I would say it's the other team in the Big Ten. It's Bryce Underwood.
Yeah.
Arch is number one.
The quarterback I'm probably watching the most is probably Klubnik because I want to see if Clemson can win a natty.
Arch is because...
But he's not new. But he's not a new guy.
Arch is name equity, brand equity, Ohio or Texas and the Manning last name. If you're taking Arch out of the equation, I think it's Bryce Underwood because he's going to be a true freshman. He got all that money. It's at Michigan. There's obviously a spotlight on Michigan with the penalties and Sherrone Moore and whether or not he's the coach all season and can their offense be better than 131st in the nation.
This TV gold is just getting richer for them, for Texas, Ohio State. Because now that you know it's saying, now you can prepare all your pregame packages, all your promo material.
Yeah. And when it'll start hitting the airwaves this
Saiyan
week.
Saiyan versus Manning, you know.
Going Super Saiyan, getting the Dragon Ball Z references all ready to go.
Yeah, someone's about to put out an article of...
Oh, the TikTok edits that are going to come out with him, like,
I can already,
screaming on the sideline going Super Saiyan.
I can already see the highlight. 2020, or the headline, 2027 NFL mock draft, why Saiyan should go above Arch Manning.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can already see that article being written right now to click send if Ohio State beats Texas.
You know,
right? The hype machine is wild. The hype machine is wild. All right, we come back. We will stay in the state of Ohio. I promised you we'd been here for a while. We should broadcast live. What's our sister station in Ohio? Just pick one. Send it over there. We'll say hello. But first, the Kahuna with sports.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
You gotta be in to do it.
Getting higgy with it.
All right, we'll have closing arguments coming up here in 15 minutes. We'll send you on your way. On your way. Thanks for being a part of the show today. We're happy to have you. Fan Sports Network here, 105.1 The Fan. It's time to move over to some NFL chatter. We'll have a little more NFL chatter tomorrow with some preseason stuff, quarterback news, as we're getting closer and closer. And there is college football this weekend. We will preview that later on this week. I have confirmed we will have Alex Brink on the show on Friday at noon.
There you go.
I'm excited to have that. We'll chat a little Wazoo football.
Great dude.
Great guy. Great, great guy, Alex Brink, friend of the station. So we'll chat some of that. I'm working on an Oregon State guest, chat some Oregon State stuff. We know we'll probably check in with Tyson Alger next week when it comes to Oregon football as we're getting closer.
Especially once we name it a quarterback.
What if Dan Lanning feels left out today? And he's like, oh, yeah, you know what? So did we.
Nah.
Maybe he does it on the coach's show, 1 o'clock. Tune in.
There you go.
Never know. Check that out. But we'll stay in the great state of Shohio.
Mm.
Let's see. Bad organization. Bad organization. To go to this guy and to this one.
Yeah.
We'll go to Cincinnati.
Okay.
I flipped a coin. We'll go to Cincinnati.
Which crappy organization in Ohio do you want to talk about?
It was reported. Did I ever tell you a story about my mom when we were at the World Series? When she tried to troll those dudes in Cleveland about the Browns?
Yeah.
Well, Ohio State's not bad. Yeah. I love that.
You can't hurt Browns fans.
You can't hurt Browns fans, no. They just those guys reverted to Ohio State. Mm-hmm. They were just like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Came out this morning that while they don't want to, they are listening to offers, the Bengals are, for Trey Hendrickson. I don't want to trade you, but I will listen to offers. I believe they set the asking price at a first-round pick.
And a young player.
And a young defensive player does not need to be a pass rusher.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, they drafted one. So
that's kind of steep.
Yeah. It is, and his age is up there. But this is why I always thought this was going to end. I always thought that this is how this is going to go because the Brown family is broke.
Mm-hmm.
They paid Jamar. They paid Burrow. They paid Chase. And they do not have the capital to pay somebody else.
I know. Even Higgins got paid. Yeah.
Trey Hendrickson's worth it. He is saying he wants a two-year guarantee.
Just do it. Two-year guarantee of what, though?
I think it was 56.
Total?
Yeah.
Carry the one. That's not bad.
No.
That's not bad.
He's been, if you're talking impact defensive players, T.J. Watt, Micah Parsons,
Miles Garrett,
Max Crosby.
Max Crosby, sorry.
That's the four.
Yeah.
That's the four. Mm-hmm. He's on that list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's top five guy for sure.
Your defense is god-awful.
Yeah.
With him. What are you without him?
Yeah, that's true. My biggest question was kind of like, when does this ever work, though? Does anybody ever get that kind of asking price? That's a lot, man.
The last time someone of his age got dealt for that was 94. I can't remember who it was.
Like, if
for.
TJ Watt got dealt right now, no way you're getting a first-round pick. You're going to get a second round. Two second rounds.
I think TJ would.
You think so?
But again, the injury concern. It's the age.
That's what I mean.
But, like, the whole idea of, like, oh, we can use this draft capital to you know, get something else back to make this work. It's like, but you have the guy. And you have Burrow. Like, remember when they paid Burrow? Like, oh, we're going to pay. We're going to compete now. No, they're not. No, they're not because they can't. And I want to see every one of these owners across sports gone. I want to see the Browns gone. I want to see the Haslam's gone. I want to see the Pirates ownership group, well, Reds ownership group.
We kind of mentioned it the other day. I mean, we're not far behind. You know, a lot of these teams are starting to get purchased.
I mean, they're all getting sold.
This,
yeah.
We talked about this with our new overlord, with Tommy Dundon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's starting to be people with money that want to win and are willing to spend money. Now, some of them will be stupid in how they spend money,
but
I think we'll get to a point where at least everybody is still spending.
And even as it pertains to locally, I'm still trying to figure out where the other $2 billion is coming from. We'll talk about that later? Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, because if you do the net worth valuation and all those kind of things, you're like, there's a lot of money missing here, and how is that going to work? Anyways, I want Mike Brown out of, like, I want the Bengals to be good. I love Joe Burrow. I love Jamar Chase. Like,
if the Bengals didn't have Joe Burrow, though, we would not give an S rips about this, though.
No, but that's the whole point. Joe Burrow has the opportunity to be one of the best quarterbacks that's ever played the game.
It's true. Joe Burrow might be this generation's Dan Marino.
He is.
Yeah.
He is, and at least Marino.
I'm better than all of you.
At least Marino had a chance.
So did Joe.
Well, yeah, I guess he did have one.
Yeah.
And that might have been
it. Dan had one in his second year, just like Joe. I think Joe's was his third year, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. It's so frustrating. It's like, it's not this hard. And yet, you've got owners like the Brown family, the Haslam family, Jerry Jones. Like, here's the thing. If you want to talk about domino effects, if the Bengals do trade Trey Hendrickson, which I do think is going to happen.
You do think it's going to happen.
I've thought this from the very beginning. I just did not think that they had the capacity to do this. I think if Hendrickson gets traded, I think Jerry looks at Micah and goes, crap. Crap.
In what sense?
I have to trade him.
I don't know. I don't see Jerry as somebody that just because somebody else did something.
Not because of somebody else, because of whatever the return ends up being.
Oh, I mean, if they get a one and a young defensive player that's promising, Micah gets more than Hendrickson.
Yeah, because he's younger.
By far.
He's younger.
Can you get two firsts?
No. No.
Two firsts for Micah Parsons?
No. Unless that's all you get.
You don't think the Lions give up two firsts?
No. No. Two ones is too much. Two ones.
Micah Parsons and Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah. Two ones. Sexy. I mean, it'd be terrifying. But the Patriots are already saying, hey, we're willing. And they're talking, you know, whether it's Terry McLaurin or Trey Anderson, like, hey, if there's a, like, we're willing to deal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, if I'm the Patriots, for sure. Any one of those dudes. Micah Parsons, Scary Terry, Hendrickson, I'll take them all. I'll get them all. That'd be awesome. Mortgage your future. I just did that with my fantasy baseball team that I'm not allowed to talk about.
No, you still found a way.
Still found a way. Mm-hmm. Have you looked at the Cincinnati Bengals schedule?
No.
Do you know who they play week one?
No.
They are at the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, God.
Closing arguments is next. The Firm, 105.1 The Fan.
It's time for Easy Play. Brought to you by Home Z, making home improvement easy.
Anything deep, ball game is over. First pitch is by third. Reds win. Hayes hammers it down the line. Friedel scores.
That ball wasn't even gone yet, and he was like, game's over. Game's over.
When you see him get hit that hard, you know.
Brewers, their 13-game win streak snapped. However, they're all getting free burgers on Wednesday, so they'll be all right. I'm telling you, just because they lost a game, watch out for this Brew Crew. They're going to be good.
Cowards couldn't win 14.
This Easy Play brought to you by Holmesy. Use Holmesy's online calculator to estimate your project instantly. Make it easy. Call Holmesy. That's Homze. Holmesy.com.
The Firm of Harris and Meringue is wrapping up for the day.
You want answers?
Which means it's time for the closing arguments.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
On the Fan Sports Network.
You can't handle the truth!
105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
All right, closing arguments. We do this every single day at 12:45. Finish up in the state of Ohio with a little NFL chatter. Remember, Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. You know, there's actually a lot of noise out of Browns camp this morning. We'll chat some Dylan Gabriel and his performance over the weekend on tomorrow's show. But the Browns have decided to send a fully guaranteed deal, right?
Why?
A fully guaranteed deal to Isaiah Bond after all his charges have been dropped or paid off or however you want to say it. Danny wrote in my show notes, for a team without a soul, why can't they win?
I mean, they are. If you're going to be the dirtbag team.
Be dirtbags.
But win. Like, yeah. I was brought up in a household that was Raiders fans, and we celebrated the fact that we had the dirtiest, nastiest, most vicious, hard-hitting, head-hunting, maniacal, psychopathic team in the league. Hands down, no one came close.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they won!
They won, yeah. They won a lot.
They won a lot!
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're gonna be the dirtbag team, you better freaking win. Quit signing dirtbags and losing.
Yeah.
You gotta pivot, man. You gotta clean some stuff up. It's like, you want to use the local example. The Jailblazers.
Yeah.
If you're gonna be a dirtbag team, you better win. You better be the Detroit Bad Boys.
Yeah.
You know what
and
I mean?
There was like, there were some signs of life there until it came crashing down.
If you're going to be the dirtbag squad,
it's true.
You got to have the results to justify
it. It's true. People like jerks if they win.
Yes.
You know, it becomes identity. Otherwise, it becomes prevention.
Yeah. Like,
you know,
Philadelphia
like
Flyers.
Being a like, jerk
being
preventing you from winning.
Being the Broad Street Bullies. Like,
but I know people that don't like Kachuk, and it's like, well, sorry. He wins.
He's an a-hole. That yeah. whole Florida Panther team.
They're all jerks.
Full of jerks. But guess what? They beat the crap out of you. They win, and then they smile and laugh at you and go do it again.
Look, you know, paging Tom Brady. Not the nicest guy in the world.
If you're going to be a jerk about it, you better back it up.
Rodney Harrison. Oh, God, I hate Rodney Harrison.
But you know what I mean? It's like totally. Aaron Hernandez.
Totally. Without a doubt.
If you're going to.
Well, he was just misunderstood.
Yeah. Careful now.
On the YouTube chat, imagine making a deal with the devil and still sucking. Yeah, that's pretty brutal.
Yeah, that's my point. It's like, you're it's one thing to be like, if you're the Chiefs, whether it's, you know, Rice or Tyreek or just insert guy that's been arrested for something very dumb and violent and stupid and awful and egregious, they still won.
Yeah, that's true. Coming in on the text line, 503-864-6326. Speaking of the Bengals, which we chatted about a moment ago, since Taylor's been the head coach, they have a losing record in their first five games. Browns win week one versus Bengals?
They're a slow starting team. But also, they've missed Burrow in the beginning of seasons.
You want me to get in a survivor pool and take a wild risk on the Browns in week one? Get into like a $100 pool and see what happens?
Well, I mean, the Browns offense is going to be bleh, but the Bengals defense has a potential to be one of the worst units in the league.
That's the other news out of Cleveland camp is Kevin Stefanski.
Joe Flacco.
Has named Joe Flacco the QB1, which I think we all assumed was going to happen.
Till week four.
I might throw a fat wager down on Kevin Stefanski winning Coach of the Year.
Well, he's won it twice.
I think he might win it three times.
I saw.
What if Joe Flacco goes 11-6?
Some Cleveland.
I'm gonna pull up their schedule.
Blog or something.
Comeback Player of the Year again.
What's that?
Comeback Player of the Year again.
Yeah, Joe. Is Joe Flacco elite? I think the answer is yes. If he won't Comeback Player of the Year again, dude, I'm putting his ass in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, he's clearly not.
Putting his ass in the Hall of Fame.
But I saw some Cleveland writer being like, okay, so you're telling me that the two-time coach of the year suddenly doesn't know what to do with his quarterbacks, you know, in the sense of like everybody's screaming for Shadur or Dylan Gabriel. It's like, no, the guy that's been coaching and been coaching very well with crappy ingredients probably knows what he's doing.
Right. I just did the yes, no real quick through their schedule, the Browns schedule. I got three wins. They are Titans, Jets, and Dolphins, and I felt bad for the Dolphins when I did that. I felt bad for them.
The Jets might have had their highlight of the year with their backup tight end, chip-blocking Abdul Carter. Did you see Abdul Carter responded on Twitter?
Yeah. He said that might be the highlight of their whole season.
It's like, buddy, you got rocked.
Whatever, dude. He didn't really see the guy coming.
Doesn't matter.
I know. He'll learn from that.
You don't get to chirp on Twitter after you just ate grass. You take that one, you go, in 7 years when you're on some former player podcast, your welcome to the NFL moment was when some second team tight end steamrolled your ass. That's what you do. You take that one and you just put that one in your pocket and go, swallow your pride. Look, man, it happens to everybody in the NFL. Saquon Barkley talks about his with Julius Peppers handling like him like a child and going, oh, this guy's different. And Saquon's a Hall of Famer. Like, it happens.
Yeah, but I also think that, you know, some guys got to have that chip from the beginning, though. You know, I think for Abdul Carter, especially defensive players, especially linemen that are just like nasty and hungry all the time, he like has to say that to keep his own self up. You know, I don't think he's like worried about his image, but he has to be like, yeah, whatever, dude, Jets suck. And he's doing the New York rivalry thing. I have no problem with him saying something.
I think that's one where you stay quiet.
I think it's a New York thing.
I mean, he's a Penn State guy, though. I mean, it's, you know.
But now he's on a giant. Now he's on the Giants, and they gotta, you know, which team is gonna suck more in New York City next year?
Flip that coin and tell me which way it
comes. I don't think it's a coin flip. I think it's pretty clearly the Jets, in my opinion.
I think they both suck a lot, but I believe in Dart more than I believe of in insert quarterback. And I
believe in that defensive line of the Giants way more than I do of any other unit.
Yeah, I mean,
for the Jets.
Thibodeau, Lawrence, Carter, certainly.
Certainly formidable. Quite nice. I'll do the schedule thing here again. I'll do it again. No, 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 no. Yes. No, 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 no. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Maybe.
How many of those is the Cowboys?
one.
There you go. Yeah.
And it's the last game of the year.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was saying. Flip a coin to see which
the
one
other
sucks
half,
more.
The other half was the Bears. Dude, this schedule sucks. Mm-hmm. Wow, the cross division for the NFC East is the AFC West.
Tough place to be.
Here's their first 4 weeks. At Commanders, at Cowboys, host Chiefs, host Chargers. Then they go to New Orleans.
They suck.
Then they get Philly at home, on the road to Denver, on the road to Philly, San Fran at home. Then they're at Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a bye till week 14. They can have no wins.
Yep.
Wow.
Like I said, flip a coin. Tell me which team
wow.
sucks more.
Wow. All right. That'll do it for us. We come back tomorrow. We got a lot to get to. Some more college football, some NFL, and some Major League Baseball. All over the place tomorrow. Thanks for hanging around today. Happy hour with Luke Anderson will be 2 to 3. Ducks Insider is next. This is The Firm. For Danny Morang, Jeff Rust, I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do.
Bye.